May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 997. Lord, while I wander here below, what ills my soul annoy, for 'tis of thee I little know, and are still less in joy. 997.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 25 and Psalm 34. Psalms 25 and Psalm 34. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach in his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Let us pray. Most holy, gracious, eternal, almighty, long-suffering, eternal, three-in-one, one-in-three, we bow before thee, and Lord, thou seest us, thou beholdest, O an omnipresent, omniscient God, every one of us in this assembly in thy house. Thou knowest the end of a thing from the beginning, and thou hast appointed our days. O, let us not waste them in vanity. O Lord, I am undone. Woe is me, says the good prophet, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and dwell among a people of unclean lips. But all mine eyes have seen the King. O Lord, let it be so. Thou knowest it. Thou knowest if it is. O Lord, remember each of us here, thou knowest we have gathered. Let there be a true spirit of humility, confession, worship, prayer, request. O, let down the blessing from above into our hearts. Save us from generalities, general principles of believing. Save us from a general doctrine. Lord, visit our souls. O, whom to know is life eternal. O, Son of David, Son of God, Lamb of God, didst thou not pray, O my Lord, didst thou not pray? And this is life eternal, to thy Father, speaking of thy disciples. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thus we come before thee this morning, O Lord. Do give us that reverence of thy name. May we fear ourselves. May we have thy tender filial fear in our hearts. And may we have that living faith working by the Spirit to reach forth. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Or says Asaph, and it's true, what other advocate with the Father have I? Or what other salvation? What other refuge? Only thee. Dear Peter says, Lord, to whom shall I go? Whom shall we go? Nowhere else. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe. Thus we come this morning, pleading thy blessing. But oh, that there be that heart confession of our sins. Lord, abashment, abasement, concerning our lives, our heart wanderings, our worldly spirit, our propensities to love ourselves before all others. Lord, our indulgence in earthly matters. We make a god of them too much. And we know we cannot serve thee except by grace. Save us from having excuses. Lord, help us to fall down knowing our sins. But the fountain, the mercy, the gospel. We draw by the gospel. No other justification but Jesus' blood. No other righteousness is but the Lamb's love and robe wrought out. Lord, we do come, provided by the Father. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Ghost, be with us in our midst, blessed Spirit, be in our hearts. Bring forth the treasures of the eternal counsel concerning our own path, right down to our little selves, right down to the detail. Give us tokens of mercy. Blessed Jesus, O Lord, thy blood of atonement, for an answer of a good conscience, sprinkled by the Spirit, Lord, by the love of God shed abroad, by the bringing forth of thy promise and of thy embrace to our souls, how we plead it. O Holy Father, O the riches of thy provision to a lost world. O we would acknowledge in living hope. We stand in awe. Why have we been made to need him and desire him? But we fail. Every one of us, if we're right before thee and honest, have to say how we fail. But Lord, he faileth not. Thou dost not fail. So help us. Help us to worship, bless the word, Holy Ghost. Help us, we fall before thee. Remember this house of prayer. Bless the ministry here. Bless thy servants that come. Remember our dear friends, the deacons. Be gracious to them. Hear their prayers, their families, their loved ones. Remember the church, the congregation. May they abide in unity. May they know their own heart. Every man shall know the plague of his own heart. But oh, may we know the living waters, the living, the healing waters, the cleansing waters of thy love and mercy to our heart. Lord, remember each those in senior years. Visit them, bless them, one detained at home. Bless them, visit them with thy salvation. Evening time of life, remember all in middle life in the burden and heat of the day. Remember the young men and women going forth in life, the families. Be gracious unto them, provide for the friends in all they need. Lord, do hear prayer. Do hear prayer. In Jesus' name we plead. Remember the dear children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. Remember the Sunday school, strengthen the teachers, bless the little ones. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering, one in a neighbouring cause. Although we do not know her, we pray for her and thank thee for thy visit to her. O Lord, how solemn is death. Lord, it's not just dying, it's giving an account, it's the judgment. Lord, awaken our young people to this truth. It is not just dying or fear of death, although we certainly do that, but we have to give an account of our lives and of our stewardship of thy word. O Lord, have mercy on us. We thank you for preserving mercies to one young friend. Bless him, be with him, let all these things fall out to the furtherance of the gospel. Remember Zion, bless thy servants, the editors of our magazines, the secretaries of our societies. Return in mercy to our own group of churches in power and life. Let there be a separation from the world and save us from a social religion, a social faith. Lord, let us walk before thee. We shall die alone. Help us to live by faith alone. In thy word, do bless the assembly of the friends together from time to time and on all occasions. Remember thy one church in the earth and missionaries, where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Men in deep places of the earth, deprivation, war, persecution, unable to assemble. Oh, remember thy people. Remember thy mourning people, thy lonely people, widows, widowers, those who plough a lonely furrow, those in distress, those who feel those pass them by. God, be merciful to them. Remember us, we pray, and the nation, have mercy on England in these appalling times. We acknowledge, as it has been done already in this house, the mercies over the years and in the last wars. No despair, but where have we got to? Shame upon us. Oh, have mercy on us in the nation. Touch our Queen. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage, religious, civil liberties, freedom to worship. Give us grace in the unknown way ahead. We bless thee, thank thee, praise thee for every mercy. Daily abundance of supply. Mercies unrecognized, keeping, preservation. Many mercies, we thank thee for thy mercies. Those spiritual mercies, the throne of grace, the word of God. Our great high priest, his precious blood. His dying, his rising. O Lord, gospel mercies, we acknowledge them. The doors of Zion open, spiritual friends. Now, Lord, we fall down. Help us. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Thou knowest each have come, every case. Is there nothing too hard for Thee? Lord, we know there is not, but there is an appointed time. Cause me to know Thy will. Wait upon Thy will. Plead Thy word. Plead Thy grace. Plead Thy mercy. Plead Thy goodness. Plead Thy promise. Thus we come. Oh, meet with us. Be in our midst. Oh, our great high priest. Walk among us, O Son of David. Holy Spirit, be in our hearts. Be dew upon the word, Holy Ghost, and make it bread and manna to our souls. Even Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Come, we plead Thy name before the throne, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, blessed Jesus, come. Come into our midst, oh come. Come and bless us. Come into my life. Come. Come. Amen.
Hymn 510. O Lord, rebuke me not in wrath, Thy anger who can bear? 'Tis heaven to live beneath Thy smiles, Thy frowns create despair. 510.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord, I would draw your attention to Psalm 34, the book of Psalms, Psalm 34 and verse 6. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Excuse me. We have here a few points. A poor man. We have the knowledge that this man cries to God. We have before us that he has heard of God. An amazing thing, but a very real thing. And if you're living, you'll want to be heard of God. And the fullness of the answer, and saved him. Saved him out of all his troubles. Just earthly troubles. All his troubles. Who speaks? David, a mighty man of valor, a fearless man, an able man, a strong man. But you see what grace does. Who's this poor man? What makes us poor? Am I that poor man or not? We have been nurtured into traditions from the time of William Gadsby through Mr. Philpott to Mr. Popham and so forth. And all of us know that we're all poor and needy. But it's very solemn to rest in a general knowledge of it and think it grace. And what made David poor? And he grew poorer, a knowledge of his sin. And what makes us poor? Are we just poor in feeling, or perhaps of a meek disposition, or feel we are of a weak disposition and cannot stand up to others, and so forth? Dear friends, or do we know our sinnership, our poverty before God? And what am I speaking of? I'm speaking with a view of death in view, and the need of a hiding place, a standing ground, a refuge, an eternal refuge, atonement, that sin to be put away. Now, dear friends, there is an account to come. I think I mentioned it in prayer. What account can you give before God now, when he knows everything already? Friend, is it not to what account, what safe account? Friend, is it all confusion? You know, ignorance went right to the gate of heaven. There was no bands in his death. He got a boat across the river. It was an easy dying. And he was asked for a certificate. And he fumbled in his bosom. And those two shining ones went out and bound him and took him to that door in the set in the hill where out came the smoke. Dear friend, an account. Friend, what do we know of the plague of our own heart who will make us poor? God's holy searching eye. Friend, it's a holy eye. Have we done wrong? See, there's a natural conscience. We want more than a natural conscience. Awakening grace, quickening grace. And grace will bring us to the Lamb of God. And David knows how poor he is. He's made poor. He that could slay Goliath, dear friend, in the deepest of waters, in the pathway. And he reduced as the king to the plague of his own heart. Poor, poor. The Lord said himself, blessed are the poor in spirit. Don't just hide under it, will you? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Friend, I could take texts and hide under them. No, come. The kingdom of heaven is theirs because he died for them. Friend, are we brought to need this Jesus as our refuge? It's not learning or knowing in the head about the doctrines of truth or the sacrifice of Jesus and assuming that we can go there. Beloved friends, do you know the barrier in your own heart when the Lord hides his face? Dear Emmanuel suffered for our sins. Such was our case. God the Father hid his face from him when the church's sins were imputed to him. Let us think of this poorness here. How David, I don't want to stick to David, but you know how his faith was reduced, how his trust, how his remembrance was reduced. No excuse here, but it's a fact. Cannot keep alive our own soul. How forgetful of the Lord we are. Is that your poverty? Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed? Friend, we're poor, we're brought to be ashamed of ourselves. Whether tramps have any embarrassment, I couldn't tell you. And some choose to live as vagabonds. But you know, dear friend, if we're awakened spiritually to our poverty, we feel ashamed of our sins, ashamed of our heart, ashamed of the plague of our heart. And ashamed of our lack of faith, and ashamed of our forgetfulness of God, ashamed of our lack of devotion. We're made to be poor. And there's no salvation in poverty. There isn't. You may be made to be poor, but it's the riches of the Redeemer wherein our salvation lies. Perhaps made to be poor in circumstances, in affliction, bodily affliction, pathway affliction, poor in trial, poor in loss, poor in suffering. No hiding place. The eye of the Lord penetrates, you know, an omniscient God, the deceits, guile, craftiness, scheming, love of power, self-promotion, pride, religious enthusiasm, a false refuge. The eye of God sees us. But you know, dear friends, there's an awakening here. Do you feel these things? Do you see your own case? Perhaps in a providential matter, laying a matter out before the Lord, and he's silent, the door doesn't open, no deliverance. How poor we become, how helpless. You know, dear friend, the nature of this poverty is because God will have his people wait on his Son. Wait on him in his Son and through his Son. Wait on God, in other words. We'll have his people look for the Lord to come first in the pathway, and then their providential pathway, whatever term we use, prayers to be answered. And how poor we feel. Can't give yourself a desire. Can you put Christ first in your affections? Far from it, friends, we're poor. But what a cry. Where light is, where this truth is laid in the heart, what a cry comes out. What a groan. Word of God speaks much of a groaning of the prisoner. You think of Hannah. You know, she was in bitterness of spirit. She had a living exercise. And, you know, how she went to the Lord with it. And then she sings under the blessing afterwards. You know, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. Is that true? Has the Lord laid me low? Has the Lord laid you low? Is the Lord withholding? Is he hiding? Is he deferring? You know, it's why there's a purpose. Friend, there may be, we can all say this, and it's easy to point and say, well, it's for that sin, or it's for that. Oh, well, what do you expect? Look at them. Oh, they're so forgetful of the Lord. When there's a little cry to Emmanuel here, to see the Lord understands. And you want the remedy. You want the remedy. That brings, there's grace, you see. Grace doesn't just strip down, it builds up. Grace leads forth to where your refuge is, where your help is. But first there is the shame. First there is the confession. First there is the acknowledgement. But then this poor man cried. Now we can all cry out in pangs and agonies. Men cry out in cursing and so forth, but the cry here is the cry for help. And this poor man cried. This poor man cried. This helpless man cried. This sinner cried. This man with egg on his face cried. This man with shame cried. You know, I don't know about you, but the forgetfulness of the Lord's mercies and forgetfulness of God in so many thoughts and reasons of my heart bring the greatest shame, you know. And that includes the heart wandering, because that's forgetfulness. And the plague of the heart, oh, the carnal nature, the awfulness of it. Do you cry out, groaning? Can God dwell here? Look, I'm not trying to be dramatic, and I'm not trying to set up a high standard of experience or a depth of poverty that no one can come to. I can only speak as I feel. But there's a cry, a depth of a cry. And much of late again, I do go through these phases. It's a great mercy to feel it. You know, oh, for that little realization in the heart that this God we cry to is omniscient. He doesn't just know about general things. He knows every man's situation and every man's feelings and every man's groan and every man's desire, and he knows every man's confession. And this cry, this poor man cried, and he cries to omniscient Christ, an omniscient God. And I tell you, he cries to an omnipresent God. It was, seemed to be with me these last couple of days, that hymn, he sees us, when we see not him, and always hears our cry. Don't feel it, do you? But it's true. He waiteth that he might be gracious. Without cessation pray, your prayers will not prove vain. Joseph turns aside to weep, but cannot long refrain. There must be Mr. Hart, surely. It is indeed. There we see that beautiful type of Christ in Joseph. But are you Joseph's brethren ashamed? Ashamed. The one they were pleading for mercy with was the one they sinned against and dealt with treacherously. Do you see the likeness? Do you see the likeness? The one you long for and need mercy from, you slight him, sin against him, forget him all the time in nature. But you know you don't, do you? What a mercy you're brought back. What a mercy you're brought near. And to bow before him, although they knew him not. But look at Joseph. He knew them, and they didn't know him, did they? They didn't know Joseph, but Joseph knew them. And you feel you don't know the Lord like you'd like to, but he knows you, and he knows you, and he knows the cry. An omnipresent, omniscient God we worship this day, and may we understand it. And an omnipotent God, and a merciful God, a long-suffering God, one God. Oh, that second glorious person in the Trinity, manifest in flesh, now exalted. It's been a word to me, and friend, you can say, oh, that was a precious word to me. Beloved friends, does it ever grow? Does it ever grow? You know, what we'd want to avoid, I say, pray, save me from this, Lord. Living on a past word and just by memory. Friend, do you need it more? Does it more become more precious? And there's one word I was going to quote. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of the Lord saved them. Friend, oh, may that grow. In all their affliction, affliction of sin, affliction of unbelief, affliction of circumstances, pathway, affliction of body, affliction in the family, affliction in Zion. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Beloved friend, he was afflicted in your sorrow, your suffering, your anxiety, or your groaning. Do you know anything of him? The Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. What a God to come down and walk a lost sinner's pathway and to be made sin, to carry their sin. When I say made sin by imputation, I mean by the curse being upon him. This poor man cried. Well, we'll leave this part now, but what's the cry? Friend, if a poor man's poor, then his cry's going to be poor, isn't it? It's not a long prayer. It worries me, you know. A flowing in prayer may impress people. But what we want here, the Lord hears the prayer of the prisoner, the groaning, the destitute. Friend, and if you're taught to the Lord, you'll learn that. You'll be amazed. For sometimes, privately, I'm not talking in public, privately, there's a laying hold of his promise or his person or a coming to his feet and pleading his grace in the midst of your groans and your cries. The Lord, this poor man cried. What's your cry? Friend, a poor cry, a cry of need. The hymn writer says, give me Christ or else I die. Master, save me or I perish. That's not theory. Perish. It's right before you. When Peter said, Lord, save me, the perishing, he was experiencing the perishing. He was experiencing the perishing. Mind you, I exhort you to pray it, whether you feel to experience it or not. But ask the Lord to make it living to you, a real blessing to you. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him. The woman of Canaan didn't know she'd got faith, but she did have faith. For her mouth was filled with arguments. Friend, you don't go to the Lord saying, here's my faith. Friend, living faith pleads Jesus mercy. Any little, I'm talking of little things here. A little hope in the covenant. Unalterable. God has vowed to answer the sinner's cry that pleads his son's name. That looks to his blood. That looks to his fullness. That's the covenant. That's the nature of the covenant. God must hear and will hear the plea in Jesus' name, in true humble confession and an honest broken heart. That's the covenant. Over little opening. That's the nature. See, the covenant reflects God's complete grace, his economy of grace. It reflects it. It brings it near to the sinner to see, as God has vowed, and unalterable. Jesus said, did he not? A very precious word this is. All that the Father has given me shall come to me. Are you one that's coming? And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Christ cannot cast out. He cannot cast out. I'm not trying to be lofty or big. It's the nature of the covenant. In no wise cast out. He cannot. But are you that poor one coming? We're so poor, friends. We come and we go. We come and we go. We start, we stop. We get exercise. We lose the exercise. We're so poor. And it brings a real cry. Poor publican prayer. Doesn't wear out, does it? God, be merciful to me. You see, a sinner. Let's get down to it. Once a sinner, always a sinner, I'm afraid. Friend, there's no improvement in the flesh as much as you'd like it. This man went to his house justified. Lord, increase my faith. He couldn't look up. But you know, his faith was seen in his cry. And he beat upon his chest, which showed where his sin was. The plague of his own heart. The Lord heard him. Dear friend, you may not be able to say you've got living faith, but any opening up of the preciousnesses of the Lamb of God in your heart, in your life, what a suitability. What an opening. Oh, what compassion. We can't perhaps get that far. But oh, do you see? There's my salvation. Precious blood. Oh, for a little blood of sprinkling. Oh, for a living touch of his mercy. Oh, that he might be mine. Oh, entering into his death. Did he die? Friend, he did die. Oh, for the heart to get hold of this a little, to know that he died for sin. And you long for an interest in that dying. And then to know an overcoming of death in your life and your soul. An overcoming of death in your life, the death that's in you. The death that plagues you. The last judgment that must come, the giving an account. You know, when we come to the end of the journey, as I said earlier, we've got to give an account. If grace opens to your heart in this life, the preciousness of Jesus and brings a little to your heart, you know that token, that pure white stone, won't ever be taken away. But you'll always need it. And when you come to die, you'll need it. When you come to die, you're proving faithful, but I'm perhaps gone on too far and wandering off now. The Lord heard him. How can he hear me? Friend, I just don't know how the Lord could ever answer my prayers with such a heart that I've got. Do you know anything about that? Well, I'm not setting myself up as a standard. I certainly am not trying to do that. You're all better than what I am. But you know, why does God answer prayer? How does God answer prayer? It comes right down. How can he answer my prayer? For one purpose and reason only. The fullness of his only begotten Son in atoning for our sin, making the law honourable, answering its penalty, and his prevailing merit, and prevailing and dying, dying in love to his Father and to his Father's people, whom his own people, who his Father gave him. I don't want to be theoretical. Dying and bearing the curse, and vengeance, anger, expended, gone, gone. Anger to his people, gone. What a refuge. Friend, and the poor soul honours, looks, desires his own Son. Have you a desire of Christ in your heart, God's Son, put there by the Spirit, and to plead Jesus' name? I do love that line, these lines. This is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. And all such blessings he approves. All such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. The Lord heard him. A God of grace hears him. You see, why? Because the fullness of the Father is in Christ. So as you honour the Son, you honour the Father. Therefore God is honoured, and you honour him. As you see, the rich provision he's provided to us for a sacrifice for our sin to constantly plead. And the sanctifying influence of the Lamb's righteousness in his holy life, freely given despite all he sees in us. What a covering, what a blood. This is not antinomianism. The Lord heard him. He must hear in Jesus' name. Poor thing, aren't we? What a poor, poor, poor things we are. Friend, what forgetful, what wretches, what unbelieving, what blindness we suffer. Hopeless our case. Friend, we're only like dogs that return to the vomit time and time again. The same old pride, the same old arrogance, the same old this, that and the other and everything under the sun. Friend, we rather grow worse. What a cry. And if you know your heart, you begin to understand what Christ must have suffered to make an atonement, I hope. See, there's a little key there. You see, true faith lies in the heart, the life of God, deep in the heart it lies. It lives and labours under load, though damned it never dies. Now that faith is grace, and that grace, from the very perplexities and corruptions of the heart, must begin to understand there the sufferings of the Lamb of God concerning your own case. What a suffering it must have been. How deep, how vast. The Lord heard him. Oh, what grace. Friend, he does hear. Oh, well, what sort of prayers are you going to pray? Well, If you don't know how to pray, take the word of God, not like a parrot. Get into the Psalms, and if there's a text there that absolutely speaks in you the very agony of your mind, plead it, the cry to God. The Psalms, dear friend, are the living prayers of his people. Not that we, when we come to pray, I don't open the Bible and start quoting Psalms. We groan, friends, but all the language of the Holy Ghost. A Holy Ghost prayer is found in the Psalms and in what Christ said, what the prophet says, and what we're taught of God's word. The Lord heard him when he hears the groaning of the prisoner. Let my soul live. Let it. See the humility. See the humbling. Lord, let me live. Are you asking the Lord to let you live, that you might praise him? Are you asking the Lord to spare you? Asking the Lord to help you? But my help comes from the Lord. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. My deliverance comes from him. Bring me to thyself. Take me in hand. Hold my right hand. You see, a prayer to one who has clothed in a body like our own, who has hands and feet, who knows what they are and had to use them, and prostrated in agony, and crucified with them, crucified with his hands and his feet. Poor man cried. The Lord heard him. Dear friend, he hears us. He hears the groaning of the prisoner. You say, but my prayers are all selfish. My prayers are too self-centered. I should be praying for others. Well, friend, you've not got to answer for their sin. Pray for their help. But it's your own soul. Do you know anything of the worth of my life? At the end of the day, dear friend, I've got to leave all. You ponder it. Friend, I've got to leave everything. I keep on about this so much now. And I realize increasingly I've got to leave it all behind. Oh, friend, what my heart gets involved in and worries over and gets anxious over and has to confess over, all be left behind. Face God. That dear Jesus whom we've sinned against, oh, that I might know him more. The Lord hears. He knows. He knows how deep our groanings are. For he has felt the same. He has felt the same. He has felt the same. He has felt the poverty you're in. He's felt all his people's poverty. He's felt the confusion. What confusion Christ must have been brought to. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ, a mystery I know is the Son of God, still almighty power, could still save a thief on a cross when he was dying. When the Father hid his face, but you know who, what his soul entered into. The Lord is he not nigh unto them that cry? We have it, we've got it in our psalm, haven't we? The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and so forth. I tell you what, I've just seen a psalm, and there's a good word there. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. The poor also, and him that hath no helper. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. A little understanding of our case will make us humble. But before thee. The Lord heard him. Amazing grace. Amazing. Heard in Jesus' name. Have you been led there in your trouble? Where does trouble lead you? To Christ. To his footstool in all humility to plead his blood. Friend, does it lead you there? That's the way of grace. That's the means of grace. That's the glory of grace. God's purpose to bring his church to him in trouble, in deep tribulation, in loss and suffering. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. A mighty God heard him. Father, Son, Spirit heard him. Heard him. And saved him. Saved him. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters. Oh, wait a minute. This sounds a lovely psalm, doesn't it? Wonderful. What emotion. You know, you can imagine someone, you're a mariner, and you can think of a friend in trouble, and oh yeah, well, they went through that. Do you know what it is to be in deep waters? Come into your soul. Not only outward trial, but a plague of your own heart. The Lord's chastening. The Lord hiding his face. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Here we see our text a little, don't we? This poor man cried. And were it not for his trouble and his soul trouble and his... He faces reality, faces eternity. Friend, we're moving on a journey, you know. If only we could keep that in view. We're on a journey. There's an end to the journey. There's an end to everything. Friend, the end draweth nigh. Friend, I say this rightly, not emotionally, but the end cometh. The end cometh. The end is drawing near. Not one of us knows. I don't know. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. We could go on with that glorious calmness, that desired haven. Friend, of your desired haven. And saved him out of all his troubles. Now, it is through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom. It seems we're so poor in our own hearts. We get saved out of certain troubles and we begin to settle down and think that's it. But there's greater troubles. I don't know. I'm not saying greater troubles necessarily, actually, but there's more troubles. And it will be to the end of the journey. Oh, what folly we keep thinking. If the Lord comes, then it'll all be sunshine. Well, it will be when he comes, dear friends. But you know, our heart seeks out many things and self-confidence soon arises. Perhaps I'm going too deep into things. Some of you may not understand how quickly we begin to turn, as Joseph answers, that very grace to sin in our own pride. What I'm trying to point to, friend, there's one salvation, one true salvation only, and that is of the soul. And those saving out of troubles in your home, family, business, church, personal pathway, soul, are harbingers of what is to come, divine teaching, of when that great and terrible hour comes. But it'll be a blessed hour when the Lord saves whatever your troubles. I want to point out here, he actually saves. He comes. He actually comes. And there is the saving out of the troubles. He's not just answering a prayer. It's not just getting out of trouble. Not just everything being put right. We do know those things. We do know the Lord does clearly answer very often. I say very often, whenever he will, sometimes it's often, sometimes it's ages. But he does actually answer prayer in little things, big things, bodily things, personal things, secret things. But you know, it's when he comes, Christ comes. Oh, do you need this Lamb of God? Oh, what a Redeemer. What love upon his heart. What compassion. Friend, what a shame he bore. How he bled his life to death, if I may say that rightly, to save us out of our troubles, to die in our place, as a ransom, to ransom our souls. Out of all his troubles, it says, all his troubles, when shall that be? When shall that be? Friend, or may we let to heart, shall I be found among them? Or shall I be found among them? Dear Christian, you know, I think they both looked round to see if there was another way to glory, but not across the river. Is there another way? It's the only way. You know, but dear Christian sank. He felt the plague of his heart when he was dying in the river. You know, Hopeful spoke to him, did he not? And I can't remember the words exactly now. These things you can't carry all the time. But he began to muse. And then he arose. And Christian stood firm and felt the ground, because of what the Lord had done and said for him and spoken to him. Has the Lord said anything to you? Friend, did that save you out of your troubles? And oh, when will he come? Oh, do you long to be where Jesus is? Friends, I know we're poor. Oh, if Christ is not our hope, an eternal hope, we shall be miserable. He that died... You see, the great mystery of the Lord's will concerning his blessing is that in this travel, in this path of life, in the trials of our faith, you see, we're led to see what a precious Redeemer we have, who's gone before us and knows our troubles and saves us out of our troubles, but he's gone to glory. And here we are brought to need him now. Friend, if he's made precious now, he will be made precious in glory. Perhaps there's someone tempted. I seem to only know him for need him for this life. Friend, you're always going to need him for this life, but if you're brought to need him and find him and hold him fast by living faith just for a passing moment, you will know him in glory, because love in the heart, love given by God in your heart for him. For the Godhead in his Son, placed in his Son, by the Spirit known there, love will draw your heart away to where Jesus is. You see, dear friend, this is a heavenly deliverance. This is a salvation coming down. And it was seen in the desert, was it not? Was it not seen? God came down. He looked through the fiery cloudy pillar. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. An omnipresent Christ, now an exalted one. See, by the Holy Spirit, Christ made omnipresent. Christ made omnipresent by the Spirit. He's actually in glory. And see, when he was on the cross, he was actually on the cross, but he was an omnipresent deity still, the eternal Son, and he's in glory. And the Spirit brings him nigh. See, it's the Holy Ghost that's omnipresent that brings forth the heavenly manna, the promise to the soul. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Is he with you? Beloved friends, it's not just nice promises. Do you know what it is for the Lord to be with you for a little while? I am with thee, and he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Strengthen thee today. Strengthen thee tomorrow. And strengthen thee to die. He giveth more grace. And upbraideth not. Gives to all men liberally of his own goodness and mercy. Saved him out of all his troubles. Beloved friends, I believe this saving out of all his troubles is Jesus himself. Christ in you, the hope of glory, a fullness of love shed abroad in the heart, his righteousness, a kingdom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. Saved him. Well, dear friends, you're still poor, but you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. And how do you know that? When he's made precious and you're made poor, and you can see what he's gone through, saved him out of all his troubles. Well, it says here, out of all his troubles. That is why I speak of the end of the journey. His troubles now, but all his troubles. And oh, friend, I don't know what deliverance you want, but I know what I want. The Lord to be with me and come to me. I want that above everything. Yes, I'm praying. I prayed as I came along over certain matters, keen to the heart, but I want the Lord to come. You know, when Jesus comes, all is well, all is well. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Saved him finally out of this body. It's true, you know, this body of death. Saved him out of all these corruptions. Friend, all this unbelief, this world, out of all his troubles.
God willing, Mr. Javies Rutt is expected to preach on Tuesday evening with the service in the vestry. And Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day and also address the Sunday School. And there's a reminder, the GS magazine orders, please. Let us close with hymn 754. Holy Comforter, descend. Testify of Christ the Lamb, from the foe our hearts defend, and with zeal our hearts inflame. 754. Thank you.
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.